Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to 10 Minutes of Tehillim. We are beginning this week, Chapter 25, Perek Chafei, and this week, as always, introduction to the Perek, some thoughts about the theme of the Perek, and some background as well. Let's begin with the Radak, although we start usually with Rashi or in Sudas Devad. The Radak makes an important comment here. This is the first, I believe, of all the Prakam we've discussed, that's written in the order of Aleph Beis. Now, when I say the Aleph Beis, you have to realize that it is minus three letters. You'll notice that there are three letters missing, and I would challenge you to find out which ones that they are. You'll notice the Beis right away, but I challenge you to find the three letters that are missing from the Aleph Beis. Although, as often we point out, like in Ashrei, for example, that there is a letter missing, yet that letter appears at the beginning of the second part of the pasuk. And so every letter is included, but some are combined into two. Why is that important? Because the Radak says any mizmor written according to Aleph Beis is automatically elevated. And that is because Maharshim point out more the Kabbalistic or the Hasidic approach is that the Aleph Beis is the Yesod of the Torah. The Torah is written with the Aleph Beis, and that therefore is the Yesod, the foundation of the world. And therefore, any chapter of Tanakh, certainly of Tehillim, that is written in the order of the Aleph Beis has a unique idea that it's really a yesod, a fundamental, foundational idea of the world. That's already a good introduction to the importance of this perek, perek hafei, and it's actually ironic that it's not a well-known perek. So, well, we should pay attention to it more than some others. The Sforno points out, he says that he believes this chapter was once again, not the first or second time we've seen this together, that it was written as a request for kapara, as a result of the sin with Bathsheba and for forgiveness. Is that the first or second time we've seen that? Apparently, this was one of the major themes of Tehillim. When he wrote that, a lot of them were asking for forgiveness. But you'll notice that the first pasuk in the chapter is quite startling. L'David, which again is a unique way to start, not Mizmor L'David or L'David Mizmor, rather just plain L'David. We'll see why that's important in a minute. Elecha Hashem nafshi esa. I raise up my nefesh, my soul, to you, Hashem. The Rambam gives a mashal. He says that when a person is shooting an arrow, they always put a target out before they start shooting. They should know where they're aiming towards. So this pasuk really is the target. If someone would express that to you, Hashem, my soul is directed, or I raise up my soul to you, that's capturing the essence of the purpose of a person's life in general. And certainly David here expresses that idea that he's describing the purpose of my life, and certainly this mizmor, this parak, this chapter, is to gear my neshama towards you, Hashem, maybe as we saw before, for asking of forgiveness. Rav Shamsa Bar Hirsch, though, makes an important point about this parak, and it refers back to what I said before. We've seen L'David Mizmor and Mizmor L'David. Just the word L'David is kind of unusual on its own. That points out to us that apparently, Rav Hirsch writes, this chapter was initially just a private chapter for David himself and for nobody else's eyes to behold. It was just for him, written personally, not for everyone in the future, not for Klal Yisrael, just for himself. But when you look at the last passage of the chapter, Pidei Elohim es Yisrael mikol tzarasav, redeem Hashem, all of Klal Yisrael, from all of distress, we change the theme. The entire chapter is really L'David. It's written in a singular form. The language is very singular, all about David himself, until the very last chapter. Rav Hirsch suggests, very unusual, very powerful idea, that yes, at first David had in mind this chapter was only for him. When he realized the potency of this chapter, how strong it was and how important it was, he allowed us to access it. How does he indicate that? With the very last pasuk, changing it to a thematic shift of all of Klal Yisrael, just with that very last pasuk, and that's the shift from the beginning of the chapter and towards the end of it. I want to share with you, though, an insight from the Medrash Shochar Tov, the Medrash Tehillim, with a comment of one of the great Hasidic masters. The Medrash records a conversation based on a pasuk in Devarim, Perech of Dalet. The pasuk says, "B'yomo titin scharo." You're supposed to pay a worker on the day that they work. "V'lo savo alav hashemesh," and the sun should not come up, "ki anihu," because he could be somebody poor who needs the money. Ve'ilav hu noseach nafsho, and to you he is pouring or raising up his soul. As if to say, like, you have to pay him because he's putting his soul, his nefesh, in your hands. The Medrash makes a fascinating connection here. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu David, David ma'ata noseach nafshecha elai. In this chapter, Hashem says, David, David elecha Hashem nafshi esa, you're raising your soul to me. Hashem asks David, why are you doing that? What's the purpose? Are you a worker? So Amar lo b'nei she'ani kishir lifanecha ba'olamecha. Yes, David says, just like you indicated in your Torah, I am like a worker for you in this world. And therefore, just like the worker, the Torah describes as raising, giving their neshama, their whole life, to the employer, David says, in a sense, you are my employer. I work for you, Hashem. I'm giving my entire life towards you. What exactly does that mean? The Medrash is a beautiful comment. Rasadik HaKohen of Lublin. Rasadik was one of the great, very deep Hasidic masters and thinkers. He writes in Tzidkas HaTzadik, Os Kuf Nunchas, the following thought. He says that when somebody gives their nefesh to Hashem, it's the makshava. It's really in thought. They're giving themselves to Misa. They're saying, God, if you want to take me, you can take me. That's God's choice, of course. And after he does that, the person expresses, God, my soul's in your hands. It's as if they're coming back to the world a fresh, clean slate, a different Gilgul, a different person. And now you have a chance to redo the mistakes you made in the first Gilgul, in the second opportunity, the second Gilgul that you come back in. And there is no sin, he writes of Sadok, that can't be corrected with this approach. And that's exactly why the parrot that begins with David saying, Hashem, I give my soul to you, ends by saying, redeem all of Israel from all of their iniquities, all their sins, because that's the purpose of this parak, is to ask for forgiveness. It was David alone, the first said, who did it on his own, but it became the paradigm parak for all Klal Yisrael, who truly gives their neshama in regret for any sin, any misdeed that they made, and hoping for redemption from Hashem. By doing so, it's as if, from Sadok says, they are granted a clean slate and can redo and make up for the sins they did in the first approach. They get a clean, fresh slate from Hashem, and that's a beautiful way to introduce the Perek and the power that it has. So, Mirtz Hashem, continuing with the actual text of the Perek next week, wishing all of you a wonderful, warm, and meaningful day.